listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.
Earlier on, I felt in my own heart a heaviness. I don't always find myself going there. I consider myself quite a positive person. I see glasses half full. And I don't always give myself to those kinds of mood swings. But I did find myself in a mood swing, and I began, as I would in my own heart of hearts, begin to assess, what's going on here? Certainly isn't the God thing. Is this, what am I being succumb to in my own spirit? How many know we are exposed to three realms? One of those realms is our own self realm. One is a godly realm, and the other is a satanic realm. I quickly surmised, you know, I might be under demonic attack here. And there's this heaviness, this depression, and this weight that I began to sense in that time. I came across this Bible verse, and I want to share it with you, and it's going to be the substance of where we're going to go today. Deuteronomy chapter number 31 and verse number 6. I want to read this verse to you, and we're going to launch from here into what I think will be a helpful moment for you. It certainly was and is for me. This scripture goes out and starts like this. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you, and he will not leave you nor forsake you. Obviously, the writer is addressing the subject of fear, and he gives to us the antidote for fear. And I might say it this way, the one antidote for fear. How many are anxious to know what is God's answer for fear? We're going to talk about that. This passage actually was taken from a crucial time in the history of Israel. The background is this. Moses was successful in delivering the people of Israel from Egypt. They had been in bondage for decades in this part of the world. And for more reasons than one, they wandered in the desert for 40 years. Now, it wasn't God's plan that they be in the desert for 40 years. Israel brought on its own problems. But I'm not going to spend a lot of time on what their problems were. But let's get to this passage of Scripture. Moses is now 120 years of age. He is no spring chicken, okay? 120. Some of you are pushing the year 80. So let's go in sections. 40 years. Another 40 years is 80. And another 40 years is 120. That's where Moses finds himself. And he says in verse number 2, of Deuteronomy chapter 31, that he is unable to complete the assignment given him. The assignment was to conquer and to occupy the promised land. I could go sideways with this very quickly and eloquently tell you what our assignment might be. But that's not my purpose this morning. The assignment for Moses was to occupy and conquer the land of Canaan. He reminds the people how the Lord was with them during the battles along the way. And he makes it known that Joshua now will be their new leader. That's found in verse number 3. He speaks words of encouragement and hope over the people. And we come to verse number 6. He not only tells them to be courageous and strong, but he said that the Lord your God will not fail or forsake them. Listen to me for a moment. This sounds to me that there could be trouble up ahead. If God's telling us not to fear, to be strong, and to be courageous, how many know he's preparing us for what yet is ahead? How many know this journey that we're on as believers is no cakewalk? All right? It's not for the faint-hearted. It's a journey to conquer. And we've been called by God to establish the kingdom of God in this world. And we're to advance this kingdom. And this kingdom is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. How many know that God has a plan and a message for the people that inhabit the planet? And that is kingdom values, God's values inserted in our life. We too, I'm sure, can relate to experiencing fear in one form or another. I described what I had experienced in my journey not that long ago. And we need to assess, is this something that is brought on by our circumstances? Are we contributing to the fear matter in our life? Or is this some kind of demonic oppression that we might be feeling and experiencing? Let me put it this way. It is a primal emotion, fear, that is. That is, it's instinctive to our human nature. And just like the emotions of grief and anger, you don't have to coach yourself. Like, I think I need to feel afraid. How many know we just many times experience that? You don't have to plan it. Fear just happens. Sometimes we're involved in circumstances that bring that on. For 13 years, I coached the Hoquiam High School golf team. Okay? Well, that's a lot of road trips. That's a lot of golf matches. That's many state tournaments. And you don't get to state just by paying a fee and getting there. You have to qualify. You have to prove that you are capable of playing a good round of golf. We've fortunately had a number of good players that made it to state. One of the things that goes with coaching golf is that one needs to overcome the element of fear. Now, I don't know who does it, but the designers of golf courses put lakes out there. They put canyons out there. They put humongous sand traps out there. We're right now wrapping up the British Open in England. I'm here to tell you that Brian Harman did win. He's a young Christian man from Savannah, Georgia. And he won by massive 5 or 6 strokes. How do I know that? Well, it's my job to know stuff like that. But anyhow, what I'm trying to say is that designers of golf courses put these hazards out there to instill fear in the golfer. So good golfers don't see the water. They don't see the hazard. They don't see the sand trap. They focus on the target. They don't see these things that bring fear in their life, and a switch goes on, and they become positive in the outlook when it comes to making their shot. And my job as a golf coach was to teach these young men, there is no canyon out there. There is no lake out there. There is nothing out there that's going to gobble up your golf ball. Keep your focus on the target. How close is that to our spiritual journey? Keep your eyes on Jesus. This morning, in the course of the journey that we face, we can get our eyes on different obstacles. It's a reality that there is a lake out there. There is a reality there is a sand trap out there. But we're going to keep our focus in another direction. I want to identify sometimes where we put our focus. When we get our eyes off Jesus in life, we fear losing people from our life. Questions arise. Will my husband always love me? Will this treasured friendship that I have right now, will it last? Or is this just going to dissolve in my life? Will my kids walk with the Lord or go their own way? Parents get troubled over that matter. So in life, we fear losing people. In life, secondly, we fear losing possessions. How? Well, I'm barely able to make ends meet right now. Will I be able to keep my house? Will I have groceries this week? There are people that are really struggling with that. Remember, for us, raising four children, that was a huge one. Money would show up in the mail. I don't know how that happened. Somebody would come along and say, hey, here's some money, go buy some groceries. Do you remember those days? God does take care of us, church. He does take care of us. Are we going to be able to help our children through college? Big, big question. If we're not careful, we can drop into the fear mode. Another aspect is we fear physical pain. How long will I endure this chronic pain in my body? What if I never get healed? And the questions keep coming. We fear emotional pain, such as, my friend has pulled away from me. And what's behind that? The fear of rejection. Did you realize that rejection is one of the most difficult emotions that we as a people go through? It's right up there at the top of the list. But I want to remind you that Jesus was rejected. He was rejected by the Jews, his family. And by the way, the Bible does say that when he took on himself the sin load of the world, that his father could not look on him. That is huge. Jesus experienced rejection, but he stayed the course. The emotional pain sometimes is very real and very difficult. It goes to the subject, my kids don't care about me anymore. Adults, when they get older, get that feeling and often entertain that thought. Or my spouse is drifting away from me. Not happy with myself. And we have all this emotional pain that launches us into a fear cycle that sometimes gets out of control. We fear failure. It's another matter in our life. I could have, I should have, I would have, I didn't, I'm not, I failed. Am I talking to the right people? Fear, let me say this, contradicts faith. Faith and fear don't camp on the same camp lot. They're not together. They're not coexistent. Let me say it that way. You can't have faith and fear at the same time. You either have faith and fear dispelled, or you launch into a fear mold and faith is cut down at the knees. While fear says, if this happens, I won't be okay, faith says, come what may, I'll be okay because of God in my life. The Lord seldom seems further away than when your heart is filled with fear. Have you ever figured that out? When you're wallowing in fear or doubt or unbelief, how many have found that the Lord isn't near to you in that moment? It's when you flip the switch and exercise faith that God begins to show up in your life. You see, fear is not in God's nature. It's not in his nature. When you rely completely on your own resources and then realize they aren't enough to sustain you, fear is going to flood your heart. It's a trap. But fear has no place, I'm here to say, in our lives as believers. But we wrestle with that. We go through that. Doesn't mean we backslidden. It just means that it's part of the life journey. We can bite on natural things and circumstances and wallow in fear, or we can be, in some way, sometimes, subjected to demonic activity, which creates this fog or this cloud of dismay. A fearful and anxious response, I want to say, is never from God. Let me give you this Bible verse in Romans chapter 8 and verse 15. It reminds us, for you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. Can I say that again? You and I, we together as believers, we were not given a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. So out with fear and in with faith. Amen? I want to give you the one antidote I promised earlier on. the one antidote for fear. This is not complicated. This isn't something you need a PhD to figure out. I'm going to give you one antidote. In simple terms, the antidote for fear is the promise of God's presence. Craig said it earlier, in this church, we are intentional about creating an atmosphere about the presence of God. I just heard, as recent as last week, this past week, someone say, well, it's not that important that we have an atmosphere of worship. Well, it is important. Because God inhabits the praises of his people. That's what the Bible says. And we worship and we praise him. He shows up. And he is a game changer. Otherwise, we are a nominal club that gets together. And we sing nice music. We have good friends. And someone gives a homily. And we go home and we go through life and keep doing what we're doing. But when it comes to the church, to the people of God, we go nowhere without the presence of God. I am so excited for what is happening. God is raising up a generation that is bent on changing the atmosphere in this nation. Can I say again, get, if you can, to Olympia on Friday. Support Joel and our worship team on Saturday night in Olympia. That's going to be a powerful time. And if nothing else, get to the event, Jesus Image, in the month of August. Those are opportunities for us to tap into the goodness and the presence of God. Here is the antidote. The presence of God. That is, God is with you. When God is with you, you don't need a fear. Simple as that. Pursue the presence of God. Pursue the person of Jesus in your life. And let the Holy Spirit overtake you. God has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say that the Lord is our helper. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Now, if there ever was a time for a generation to have that attitude, it's this time in our world's existence. The fear of man, the fear of self, will cancel out what God wants to do. There is one fear. That's a holy fear, and that's the fear of God. Believing and trusting and leaning into the personhood of God. And when we have that attitude, we can be more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. So here's the deal, if I can put it that way. Let the calm, strong assurance of God's precious promise settle in on your soul. God is always with you, and therefore, you don't have anything to fear about. Now, I want you to know the promise has sustained Christians throughout the ages. We're not the only rodeo in this world. There were generations that were before us. And what sustained them was the presence of God. What will sustain us is the presence of God. And what will sustain future generations of believers is the presence of God. Let me give you a story. Even on his deathbed, John Wesley, how many have heard of John Wesley? Most of you have. The famous revivalist preacher, he clung to the presence of God. His loved ones surrounded him as he was nearing the time to leave this life. It was stated that he said, what was most precious to him and his last words were these: the best of all is, God is with me. God is with me. He sensed the presence of God. And then the story goes, he raises his hands in victory, and his final words welling up out of the deepest part of his soul were these: even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. The presence of God, even at death's door, for John Wesley, is what sustained his life. He experienced the fulfillment of God's promise of his presence. And I'm here to tell you, that's your antidote this morning. Like me, if you go through a heavy time, a cloud over your life, it's time for you to exercise faith and to believe that God is with you. Because what happens, you don't have to drive darkness out, you just turn the light on and darkness flees. So when you turn faith on in your life, the darkness dissipates.
Yes.
The one who knows the beginning, the one who knit your life together and who is intimately acquainted with all of your ways, he has made you this promise that he will never leave you, nor will he forsake you. So when fear creeps in, cling to this one: God is with you. And you've got nothing to fear. Can I ask you to stand to your feet with me this morning? We're all going to eventually walk out of this building, some sooner than some later, but we're eventually going to leave this place. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to purpose in your heart this morning that when you sense a cloud coming over your life, step back. Realize that's not from God. That spirit is not God's spirit. Why? Because the cloud of fear is not faith. These two do not coexist. Step back and realize that. And then I want you to assess, is this a demonic thing? Well, we can conquer that in the name of Jesus, right? Number one, self-deliverance. Okay, you got to learn how to do that. Or number three, is this something that is in your own spirit that's brought on by your circumstances? And I've gone through a litany of what those circumstances could be like. That's when you step over the line and you become a man, a woman of faith, and you overcome. So I want to pray over you this morning, because like I said, eventually all of us are going to leave this place. We're going to go out there into wherever we go and wherever we have influence, and we're going to be a people of faith. You're going to bump into people even today who might be, wrestling with fear. And you're going to give them an answer. Our answer is the presence of God. And you're going to pray over them and invoke Jesus over their life. Bring deliverance and introduce them to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let me pray. Jesus, this morning, you've been in this place. Your Holy Spirit has been working, even in the worship, the intimate time of experiencing you. And in this message, as we get our heads around the idea that you've called us to be instruments of hope, and whilst we experience fear, most of the time through natural experiences in life, we're making a conscious decision this morning to exercise faith, to believe that your presence will drive out all fear. The presence that we've experienced today, your presence, Lord, we're asking, will never leave us or forsake us, because that's what your word says. And we can be on task every day of this week, believing you to conquer the works of darkness in our life. So we become and choose to become a people of faith because we're trusting you. And may your abiding presence go with your people today as we walk from this place. And the comfortable fellowship that we have with one another, and we're thrust into a world that's confusing, may we become beacons of hope and instruments of faith to people that we contact. We pray this. I ask this over this people now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Take a deep breath. You're an ambassador of Jesus. You're a faith ambassador today. You're an instrument of hope. You're a conqueror. You're more than a conqueror because Jesus is in you. Let's applaud him together and give him praise for his goodness to us. You're dismissed. Some of you need to get your kids. God bless you. Have a powerful week. Don't forget Friday, Saturday. Sign up, be involved, and be a person that is making their life count for the kingdom. God bless you.
Listening to the Cornerstone Church weekly podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.